Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Elaine Papanikolaou. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Robbie, and welcome, everyone, to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. If you've not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. The e-meeting URL is displayed on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. The webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation, and once you're in the e-meeting, you will see that presentation. If you're unable to access the e-meeting, please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange page and click the title of today's presentation, Diagnosing WebSphere Application Server Hang Conditions on AIX. Today's presenter is Ricky Marley, Advisory Software Engineer, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support Team Lead. Ricky has been working in the WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support Team for 3 years. He is the team lead for the WebSphere JDK team and subject matter expert for application server hangs, crash, and memory-related issues. Today's topic, again, is diagnosing WebSphere application server hang conditions on AIX. During the presentation, all lines will be muted, but after the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions, and then we're going to open the lines for a question and answer session. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Ricky Marley.
Okay, thank you, Elaine. Okay, my name is Ricky Marley. I'm one of the team leads on the WebSphere Level 2 Support WASP SDK team. And thank you for joining today. Let's go ahead and get started. We'll go on to slide number 2. Okay. What we'll be covering today, basically, is first we're going to discuss what exactly is a hang, what causes hangs, how you can determine if you've got a hang, a crash, and sometimes we do get those confused. We'll also cover what data you need to collect to diagnose a hang on WebSphere. And we're going to look quite a bit at Java Gorge, which are our main tool for debugging hangs. In Java Gorge, we're going to look at the basics, what kind of data you get in the Java core. We'll look at how to do some thread analysis, some lock analysis, and then we'll take a look at understanding Java Gorge from a WebSphere application server. At that point, we'll sum things up, and we'll have a little time left for questions at the end. Okay. Go on now to slide 3. What is a hang or degradation, a performance degradation on WebSphere? A hang might seem quite simple. It's just your application server begins to not respond in the way that you would expect. A hang differs from a crash, obviously, and when a crash, you will actually lose your WebSphere Java executable. For a hang, your JVM process will still be there, but it just will not be responding as you'd expect. First thing you get is probably one of your users, your clients, will complain that they're getting a white screen or just not getting a response back. One thing we need to understand is what kind of requests are not getting a response. Is it all HTTP requests? Is it RMI requests that are not getting responded to? And starting at WebSphere release 5.1.1, we actually now have error messages you might find in your system out logs that would tell you when you have a hung thread. That's a thread that is has been running longer than the set threshold. You see an example at the bottom of the slide. If your app server is running very slowly, you might also see a similar message saying that this thread subsequently did complete. Both those are clear signs that you do have a performance problem or a hang in your system. We'll go on to slide 4. And you might ask, what exactly can cause a hang? You could have a circular dependency in application code that might deadlock the JVM. Now you could have bottlenecks that can be caused by a number of different reasons. You could have improper tuning of a web server or web container or a database. You could have synchronization issues within the Java code where one thread might be holding a lock, blocking all other threads from progressing. You could also have a problem where your web container or other components in WebSphere are waiting for a response from externals. sources. And finally, you could have a limitation of, in resources. You could have, you could be CPU bound with your app server, and, or you could have a memory problem. And typically, if you have a memory issue, it's going to be in your Java heap and not a system native memory problem. We'll go on to slide 5. Before we get started on talking about the Java cores and things, it's probably a good idea to talk about ThreadPool and their role in with your application server. ThreadPools are a place where we find a lot of issues, a lot of hang problems where maybe the ThreadPool is not tuned correctly, or we have a synchronization issue going through there. Some of your ThreadPools you have in WebSphere are the Web Container ThreadPool. The Web Container handles all of your HTTP requests that come into the app server. You also have the Object Request Broker, the ORB ThreadPool. This would be handling your RMI or your host type requests. You have a Data Replication Service ThreadPool, the DRS. That's used for the servlet dynamic caching and your HTTP session replication issue component. You have the Java Message Service ThreadPool. You also have an Alarm ThreadPool, which generally is used by WebSphere internal components to react to certain conditions in the system. You have a Self-Connector ThreadPool, and you can have application-defined ThreadPools. And a large number of our hangs we'll see will be in the Web Container areas, and it will involve Servlet Engine threads. We've included a link down at the bottom, which will the link will show you the different states of Servlet Engine threads and which are idle, and it shows you idle threads, keep alive threads, and the threads that are waiting for service. It's a good reference when you're looking at Java cores if you have any questions about what you might be seeing and whether or not a thread is idle, whether it's actually working. I highly recommend you take a look at that tech note if you have any questions on threads in their state. We go on to slide 6. And when you get a hang, you determine you do have a hang, first thing we do is need to collect the data we need to debug it. And I guess one of the most important things here is that your application logs are just not going to be enough to debug this type of problem. We're going to need to know what's going on inside the JVM at that point. And to do that, we do have a tech note, a must-gather tech note, that defines all the documentation that we need to collect during the point of a hang. These documents include, most importantly, the Java cores. Java cores are obtained by performing a kill minus 3 against the process ID of the Java process. Java cores will be created in WebSphere 5. They'll be in your user WebSphere app server directory, your working directories. In WebSphere 6, there'll be a new user WebSphere app server profiles server name. Another piece of data we collect is netstat data. Netstat enables us to look at the status of your ports in and out of your web server, your app server, or to your back-end resources. If you're having CPU issues, you're having high CPU usage, we'll also ask you to collect tprof data. Tprof will help us determine exactly which threads in the JVM are using your CPU. And finally, an additional tool we use is for memory utilization is verbose CC data. A good number of our hangs are memory related. If garbage collection begins to run, it suspends all threads. So if you're having frequent or long running garbage collection cycles, it will hang your application server. Okay, and we'll go on to slide 7 for get our introduction to Java cores. If you say Java cores, you may also have heard them referred to as Java dumps or Java thread dump or just a thread dump. It's a large text file that contains a very large amount of data about the JVM. Among that is it'll have information on all the threads that are running in the JVM, including the Java thread stacks. It'll have information on all the monitor locks in the JVM. What threads are holding those locks? What threads are waiting for those locks? And it would contain a very large amount of information about the environment in which the JVM is running, the operating system, how much memory is being used at that point, just a very large amount of information. Go on to slide number 8. The Java core is broken into 6 logical subcomponents. And those components are the title, the XHPI subcomponent, the CI, the LK, the XM, and the CL. And we'll go over each one of these in just a moment. But of those, for performance degradation hangs, the two most important ones will be the LK, which is the monitor lock section, and the XM subcomponent, which is the thread status area. Each one of those subcomponents in the Java core will have a tag to the left which identifies the subcomponent that it's a part of. We'll go on to slide number 9 now. And the first subcomponent you'll see in the Java core is the title area. And most importantly here, you'll see the signal that caused the Java core to be created. If you're gathering the Java core as part of a hang, you will see a signal 3. If you get Java cores where you see a signal 11, that means your app server's crashed. If you see a signal 0, that generally means you have an out-of-memory issue. But when you collect them up together, it will always be a signal 3. In the title area, you also will see the date and time that the Java core was collected, and the name of the Java core. We go on to slide number 10. The next section is the XHPI subcomponent. XHPI represents the operating system environment for the JVM. It gives you the SDK release information. It also has the operating system and the operating system release levels. You get your host name. And you get a list of all your environment variables that your Java process is executing under. Go on to slide number 11. The next section is the CI component. The CI subcomponent contains details about the Java virtual machine environment. It, again, contains the SDK build information, but also has all the Java command lines and the options that you have entered there. As you can see in this little snippet from a Java core, you've got your minimum and maximum heat settings. Like I said, all your Java command line options will be there. And plus your class path information. And this is some invaluable information from support. Plus be able to verify exactly how you have your JVM set up. And next to slide number 12. The first really important section is the LK subcomponent. It contains your monitor lock information. In just a minute, we'll talk a little bit more about exactly what a monitor lock is, but this section lists all the monitor locks in the JVM. It will tell you all the threads that are holding those locks and all the threads that are waiting for the locks that are just being held. And we'll have an example of a lock issue just a little bit later on in the presentation. Go on now to slide number 13. And perhaps the most important section is for debugging hangs and performance degradation is the XM subcomponent. And this section contains a breakdown of all the threads in your current stack trace. You can use this along with the monitor lock subcomponent in debugging hangs. And for the most part, you'll use those two together to debug most of your hangs. We can see the state of each thread, and with a series of Java cores, you can determine which of these threads may be making progress, which ones are not making progress, and hunt. You also, as you can see in this little snippet, you get a current thread information that tells you what the thread which was active at the point the Java core was taken is doing. Generally, when you take it with a kill minus 3, that current thread is going to be the signal dispatcher, and it's really not can be ignored. In the last section, which we don't have a slide for, is the class loader section. That's the LCSO component. This contains a list of all the classes that are loaded at the point of the Java course taken. And we'll go to slide number 14. Just going to sip of water here. You might ask, what is a monitor lock and how is it used within the system? Well, monitors are used in Java to enforce synchronization. Limits access by threads to a given resource. And so you don't want multiple threads accessing maybe a given database or maybe a file system. You can set a monitor lock, take that monitor lock and the thread and own it, and then no other threads will be able to pass through that until that lock is released. Okay, and in the Java core, in the monitor lock subcomponent, it's broken into five subsections. You've got the monitor pool information. It's just some basic information that gives you the total number of the monitors. Then you got the monitor pool dump. That's the section that lists all the monitors that are in the JVM and the threads that are holding those locks at that point. And there's the JVM system monitor dump. It's similar to the monitor pool dump, but it's more at the JVM level, and that section can be ignored. And then you got the Java object monitor dump. So when it's, again, very similar to the monitor pool dump. The JVM system monitor dump and the Java monitor dump can just largely be ignored. It's the monitor pool dump and the thread identifiers that we're going to look at to analyze monitor locks and who owns them and who's waiting. And the thread identifiers, there's a section that maps the WebSphere Java threads to a thread identifier that is displayed up in the monitor pool area, and we'll see an example of that in just a second. We'll go on to slide 15. We're able to perform thread analysis. It's good to understand exactly the state of the threads at the point the Java course is taken. Each thread will be listed with a state, and that state is very important in analyzing a hang. First state is R, and it means that the thread is runnable, meaning that thread has the ability to run or it is running at the time. The second state is a conditional wait, or CW. That's a thread that's waiting on a condition variable. Basically, it's a thread waiting for a certain condition to occur, and you generally will see this if the thread is waiting for a resource to become available. Then you have the monitor wait state, which is a thread waiting for a monitor lock. And finally, suspended. That's obviously a suspended thread. Okay. We'll go on to slide 16. There's a large number of ways of analyzing Java cores. I think every level 2 rep in WebSphere has their own style, but I can give you my recommended series of steps to go through in analyzing one. First, is there a deadlock? Do you have a condition where one thread is holding a lock waiting for a second lock and another thread is holding that lock and waiting for the lock that the first one is? Second, you would look for is there a monitor lock that's being held that has a long list of threads waiting for that resource? And it's not a deadlock and it's not a monitor issue, then you go to looking at what exactly all the threads are doing. Are they idle waiting for requests? Are they busy? I mean, I'm having the same thread stacks. Are the threads moving over a series of Java cores? Or are they all busy but doing different things? We'll go through these different scenarios in just a moment with a couple of examples. Also, we do have a tool available where you can analyze Java cores graphically. It's called the Thread Analyzer. I've included a link here where you can go and download it. That tool gives you a nice graphical representation of what's in the Java core. Personally, I prefer to look at the raw data myself, but the Thread Analyzer can be quite helpful. go on to slide 17. The first step in looking at Java cores and diagnosing a hang is to look for a deadlock. And if you're editing the file, text file, if you're editing it, you just search for the word deadlock. In the snippet here, you can see that that thread, that server engine thread number 3, is holding the javalang.object 359F1120 lock, which is owned by server engine transport thread 0, which is waiting for a second lock, which is in turn owned by the first thread. I mean, that's a classic deadlock. At that point, you would then look down in your XM subcomponent, your thread stacks, and determine exactly what these two threads are doing, what code is involved there. I'm going to go on to slide number 18. A second scenario you would check would be, are your threads backed up waiting on a monitor lock? In the little section of the Java core I have listed below, you can see that the java.lang.object monitor lock is locked and being held by thread identifier fire number 25. And below that, you see there's 5 threads waiting to enter that lock. Next thing you need to know is exactly, you know, what is thread identifier 25 and what is it doing? So if we go to slide number 19, you then look down into your thread identifier section of the monitor lock portion of the Java core, and you'll see that thread identifier 0x25 is server engine transport number 2. You go to slide 20. You can then search down for that server engine transport thread number 2 into the XM subcomponent, the thread stack component, and find exactly what that thread is doing. In this example, it had entered this test servlet, which did a get and a post, and then did a lock, and then went to sleep, theoretically waiting on some other action to take place. And if it, just one moment we'll talk about thread stack information you see. The information in thread stack is reported with the most recent code executed at the top. So at this point you see where it went to sleep and didn't release the lock. Everybody's blocked. Then you could review subsequent Java cores to see if this thread ever does release that lock. And of course everything is going to be blocked on that thread until it does release the lock. And we'll go on to slide number 21. If you don't have a deadlock and you don't see a monitor issue, then you need to drop down into the thread stack area of the Java core and start looking at what exactly are these threads doing. One scenario you might see is that the threads are all waiting, idle, and just waiting for requests. Idle threads could indicate first that your requests are not reaching the JVM. The first thing you might check is a transport thread present in the JVM. For the web container, it has a server socket transport thread, which is listening on the TCP socket for requests to come in. And when a request comes in, it will map those requests over to your server engine threads. If that server socket thread is not present, if for some reason it's died, then you will not get any requests into the JVM. Second part. Next thing you might look at is, are there any established connections to the web server, between the web server and the application server? That's when you would use your NetSat data to check the connections on the ports in which your application server is listening and which your web server is also listening. Basically, at this point you need to track down where your requests are getting blocked. Are they getting blocked at a spray out in front of your web server? Are they getting to the web server and not making it through? If you do have an issue between the web server and app server, you might check the web server's plugin log to see if there's any potential errors connecting to the application server. And one thing you do want to note is that many times the server engine threads, will, if they're idle, will appear to be waiting for a monitor lock. This scenario is in the link for the thread states that we had previously in the presentation. What we'll see is a monitor object with a bounded buffer monitor that's unowned, and you'll see your server engine threads are waiting. That's a normal state for server engine threads that are waiting for a request. And go now to slide 22. The second scenario you might see are many threads are busy and they all seem to have the same or similar stacks. One thing that you might see here is threads that are in a runnable state. At the top of their stack, you might see a socket read taking place. This is a clear indication that it's not a bottleneck, but that your threads are waiting for a resource to respond. And you just look down at the stack and see exactly what resource these threads are trying to access. Is it an LDAP? Is it reading an Oracle database? Is it attempting an HTTP URL connection? Generally, those are fairly easy to debug. If everything's waiting for the same resource, then a clear indication of what the problem is. Another scenario you might see is on slide number 23. Again, most of your threads are busy. Many of them may have the same or similar stacks. But most of them are not running. They may be in a monitor wait or a conditional wait. And it just indicates a potential bottleneck in synchronized code. First, first thing you look at is what are these threads doing? Might look at take another look back up at your monitor lock and area and see what the threads are waiting on. Determine which thread is holding the lock that's blocking the threads. Another thing you might look at is over the series of Java courses that you've taken and must gather, are the threads moving? Or do these same threads continue to sit and wait at the same spot? Go on to next slide, number 24. A third scenario you might see is the threads are not idle, but they seem to be moving slowly or not moving at all across the Java course. That's usually an indication that you've got a resource issue. A good thing to check would be is your CPU utilization high? And perhaps the threads are just CPU starved. Another thing to look at is your memory utilization. One of the steps we have you perform in collecting must gather is turn over both GC. Another thing we look at is during the point of the failure, are you having frequent or long-running GC cycles? Once again, those GC cycles will suspend all of the thread activities and hang your JVM. Finally, we'll go to slide 25. Sum up what we've been talking about here. First step in debugging your hanging problem is identifying what kind of requests are causing the problem. Is it all requests, a specific request to maybe a given web application or to a given web module? Perhaps that only one web module is having a problem, or maybe it's the whole app server. Next step, we'll be collecting the must-gather information. We talked about the Java cores that you need to collect, maybe tproc data if you're having CPU issues for both GC, to make sure you're not having a memory problem. And also identify where you might find that documentation when you execute the commands. And finally, we took a look at the different subcomponents that you see in the Java core text itself, with the lock, monitor lock, and the thread stacks being the most important pieces of information. And then we took a look at several scenarios you might see with the deadlock, all your threads backed up waiting for a monitor lock, or just looked at threads that have similar stacks that are waiting for resources, those that might be a synchronization problem in Java code, or possibly just have a resource issue with CPU or in memory. We'll go to slide 26. This chart includes a link to a number of sites that provide you some valuable online resources for our WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers some in-depth technical information as well as some tools you can use. The events link on the support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. You can visit WebSphere.org for user group information or other product information. Our IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve much more quickly. And we also have the ESR tool, which is for our Passport Advantage clients. It allows you to open, update, and do your PMRs with WebSphere support. And finally, we have the My Support link on all product support pages. That lets you sign up for weekly email updates on the products that interest you. We'll go to slide 27 for a question and answer period. I believe Elaine to do a poll first if we go to questions and answers, I believe.
Yep, that's right. Thank you so much, Ricky, for a really great presentation. We would like to open the lines for some questions, and I'm going to turn the call back over to our presenter, Ricky Marley, to answer any questions that you might have. Ricky?
Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically today. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, to ask a question today, it is star and 1. And we'll take our first question from Joe Korchmar with Wachovia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. It's Rick.
Yeah. Ricky, I answered it.
Yep. Hey, okay. Ricky. This is Joe Korchmar from Wachovia. I got a question for you about the front sections of the thread dump. I believe they're not available on all JVMs. Is there anything that you can enable to get all the sections from the Sun JVM? This looks to be specific to the IBM JVM.
Now, this presentation was specific for the IBM JVM because you don't get a Java Core file on Solaris. When you do a kill minus 3 on Solaris, you do get a thread dump, and it goes in your native standard out file.
That's correct.
But there's, I don't know of any way to get the status information, you know,
the heat parameters and everything else.
Yeah, that would be very nice, but
it would be very, very nice. That's,
we have to go to, like, server.xml and collect all the information piecemeal.
Okay.
Again, to ask a question, it is star and 1. And we'll go next to Deepak Bansal with Deloitte.
I had a question. We have a condition where our node agent log says unable to reach a particular server. We have a WebSphere and the environment installed on our AIX machine.
Mm-hmm.
And node agents always say, unable to reach a particular server, and then issues a force stop command.
Right.
And, certain times it works fine, it restarts the server, but on a couple of occasions, actually, it didn't get any response back from the server. So server just running, in hung condition. It doesn't obey any request comes to the server. So is that the hung condition, or is something else actually happening with the servers?
And the JVM, the Java process is still...
it's still up, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a classic hang. At that point, you need to go ahead and click your Java course.
And so is it something can we avoid it by increasing the synchronization interval with the node agent, or is that something recommended that keep it for a minute? Because by default, it's come for a minute, I believe so.
Does the application server ever start responding, or does it...
responding, yes.
Does it start responding later, or do you have to restart it to get it to sync back up?
Oh, we need to restart. We need to actually kill the process and then start the server.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like increasing any of your node agent ping time intervals is going to help there. It just sounds to me like JVM is just hung, and going to need to determine what exactly is causing it to hang, and that I'd collect the hang muskgather, and if you have any problems interpreting that data, please just open a PMR with. We'll be happy to help you.
Okay, cool. The same question related to the node agent, actually. There's another option, say, synchronize during the startup only. Don't do automatic synchronization. Is there any recommendation on that side? Should we do the automatic synchronization, or we just stop the synchronization and do it during the startup only?
That's going to be at your discretion, right?
Yeah.
If you're not making any changes to your deployment manager, to your applications, then maybe you just want to synchronize a startup
There's no impact, right? Because we normally make the changes only during the deployment. And if you're not making any changes, then we should be fine, right?
Yeah. I would think so. I mean, that's not my area of expertise, but that's, if you're not making any changes to your application
server
configuration,
yes,
from the deployment manager, if you're just doing it with the deployment, then synchronization is just really not doing you any service, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. I got the answer. I got the point what you're saying. So
okay,
we can actually safely point to the during the startup only. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Evan Wood with IBM.
My question is around, and you touched on this a bit in your presentation, taking multiple Java cores and the importance of that when looking at a hang, and talk a bit, if you can, about the interval between taking those Java cores.
Yeah, our Muscat doc, Techno, requested you do it every 2 minutes. That seems to be a pretty good interval. It gives us a long enough period of time so that we can see if the threads are moving. It's not to...
Can you describe what it looks like what you mean if the threads are moving? So what I assume you mean is that if you can see the same thread ID across the multiple thread dumps.
Right. You would look at the actual thread stacks and see the code that was being executed, and that code will change if those threads are moving. And most times with an active application server, they're going to be completely different from one instead of thread dumps to the next.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We'll go next to Carlos Estrada with ValueOptions.com.
Hi, Rick.
Hello, Carlos.
Hey, how you doing? Rick, I have a WebSphere application with 14 nodes, and we are having some core dumps on one or two nodes that are getting heap dumped like every 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't have garbage collection on any of the application server.
Mm-hmm.
My question is it good to turn on the garbage collection? What will help? How I can handle that?
Okay. It's throwing Java cores and heap dumps?
Yes.
In the Java cores, do you know what signal's being it's probably signal zero. It sounds like you're probably running out of memory.
Yeah, well, yes, I collected the heap dump and I sent it to IBM, and they sent me the three class paths that were causing the more Java memory utilization.
Mm-hmm.
And then I passed that to the developers, but I want to do something on the server side to keep the application up and running. Do you think that turning on garbage collection will at least sustain the application server and release that memory that is being used by all objects?
They're both garbage collection, just going to print out what the garbage collector is actually doing. It's not going to help free up any of the objects. To keep those nodes running longer, you could increase your heap size. If you're experiencing a memory leak in some of those objects, and of course I don't have a PMR in front of me to look at it, but if you've got a leak in the objects, increasing heap is probably just going to delay the time in between your your failure. So
yes, that's what I'm thinking. So just gonna that is not the solution probably.
No, probably not.
Will garbage collection turn on help some kind of or no?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you think I can turn it on? I mean,
garbage collection is always running in the JVM.
Oh, it's always running on the JVM per se. Okay.
Right. When you turn on verbose GC, you're just getting the JVM is just going to print out into your native standard error file the statistics that come out of the garbage collector.
Okay. Just going to tell me how many times is performing the garbage collection, so that way I will tell me to increase the memory.
Right.
Okay. I got it.
It sounds like you're just going to need your developers to take a look at that code and
okay, I'm trying to figure out where the leaking is. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That'll answer my question. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, as a reminder, it is star one for questions. And we'll go next to John McDonald with IBM.
Hi, Rick. Could you explain how TPROF helps you pinpoint the Java thread that's taking up high CPU if you have that kind of problem?
Okay. With your TPROF, what we do is we take TPROF data for like 30 seconds when you're experiencing the high CPU. And inside your TPROF data, you will see a list of all the threads and how much CPU they're using. And it also breaks down where that CPU is being used, in kernel or user or other. And in TPROF also, we'll go down and break it out and give you the actual code that is using that CPU. We do have a muscatter doc for high CPU and AIX, and to map the data in TPROF back to your Java cores.
Yeah, the question I was going to ask you.
Yeah, you run DBX against the running process, and then you can take the thread identifier that's in your TPROF data and map it using the DBX data.
So if you don't have DBX, can you use, I'm not familiar with it, can you use PStack? Or is that just a Solaris command?
I think PStack is just a Solaris tool.
Okay, so if you don't have DBX, then you got a problem.
DBX is needed to make the connection between your TPROF and your Java threads.
Okay, is DBX native to AIX or is it separate?
And DBX, generally it's part of AIX. Some people do not have it installed. I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly what part of AIX it's in.
Okay, that's fine. I could further look that up, though. That's fine. Thanks.
And if you need any help, I could get back with you offline.
Yeah, we've done this on Solaris, and we use PStack to map the thread ID from a system command back to the Java thread dump. So.
Yeah, right. And AIX, you got to have the DBX, right?
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you. We'll go next to Joshua Joy with AT&T.
Hi, Ricky. This is Josh. I had kind of a dumb question, I guess. Currently, we only run one node, I guess, with one JVM. I guess when we go to RAD 6 or WebSphere 6, we'll be trying to run clusters and clones and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If we do have, hung conditions and we need to collect Java cores, do we have to do it on, each cluster? I mean, what's the approach to a cluster environment?
And generally, you're going to be able to know which one of those app servers is not responding. You can do that. Let me think here for a second.
Oh, okay, so there is a way to know exactly which maybe clone or cluster app server is actually hung, or will it have a cascading effect on the other app servers in a cluster? Or I guess that's a pretty vague question, but
well, it certainly could. I've seen many cases where you might have your application cloned into four different app servers, and what happens if one of them goes down? Then all your traffic is going to be routed to the other three.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that can be too much load for those three, and they'll start failing too. One thing you can do is to try and access those servers by going around your web servers directly into the HTTP transport for a given app server. Because each one of those app servers will be listing on a different port.
Okay.
And that way you can find which one's not responding, or you can look in your web server logs, and it will. If one of them stops responding, you should start seeing some errors there telling you which one is not responding.
Okay.
Normally, you want to identify which one of your app servers is not responding, and of course, take a Java core there.
Cool. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We'll go next to Robert Mastow with J.P. Morgan.
Yes, thank you. The kill -3 to generate a Java core, did you say that was AIX specific?
No, that's Unix specific.
So that will work with, say, Solaris as well?
Right. You just don't get a Java core. You get thread dumps in your native standard out file in Solaris.
Oh, okay. So it just logs to a slightly different place, but it still works.
Right. You still get your thread dumps, but you don't get all the information you get from the IBM JDK that's included in the Java core.
Right, okay. And also the thread analyzer tool, does that work equally well with Solaris as well as AIX?
I believe it does. I don't know the answer to that for sure. I'm sure that question's answered on the site there.
Yeah, okay, I'll take a look at that, yeah.
If not, I can give you my email or we can get in contact offline.
Okay.
If you can't find the answer there.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We'll go next to Satya Kinduru with IBM.
Hi, Rick. I have a question on DBX TrialScript that is provided on IBM site.
Mm-hmm.
I run that script as is. It always gives the path not determined for Java. Do we have to change that script adding use the command?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit there. Can you repeat that question, please?
The question is about the DBX TrialScript provided in the IBM site to merge together for 100% CPU usage. The script does not run successfully as is for collecting for the Java core because it complains throwing error saying it cannot attach to the Java process, saying it cannot determine the path.
Right offhand, I don't remember exactly what that's exactly. If you need that to modify that script,
because,
I could probably check it.
Yeah, it's option giving minus A and the PID. The PID is Java process PID, but it's not able to determine the path for it.
Maybe this is a question that we can take offline.
Yeah, we'll probably
we can allow someone else to come in if they have a question, because we're running just up against noon now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Kishore Fadnis with Bank of America.
Hi, Rick. My question is related to my experience where I have observed that when a server goes bad, a JVM is hung. Plugin is not able to detect it. So basically, there are times when plugin keeps forwarding the request to the hung JVM, and it does not basically prevent the users from having hung condition on their browser. So are there any specific hung conditions wherein the plugin does not understand that server is hung? Do you, first of all, agree with this experience?
I've seen cases where the requests coming in from a web server are making it into the application server, and the bottleneck is between there and an external resource. At some point, though, you should be saturating your web container threads, and your web server should no longer be able to get a connection, and that's going to be dependent on how you got your web container pool set up, right? And it's you should be able to take a series of Java cores and see what the JVM is doing is preventing a response to get back to the customer.
That's so far as the hung condition is concerned, but why is it that plugin is not able to detect that condition and not send the users to that particular JVM in a cluster environment? This is a very frequent observation with a couple of my applications, that it keeps sending the users and people start complaining that something is wrong, even though we have quite a few JVMs which are working good at that point of time in the cluster.
If your web server is making the TCP connection over to the HTTP transport on the application server side, that's how it determines if the app server is there or not. If those requests are being hung after that point, then there's not a way the web server can determine that the issues that the app server is down or the app server is not responding correctly. And so I say at some point, you should saturate, you should get more, you should fill up your web container's thread pool, and you should have, no more connections available. At that point, you should start seeing problems. And the way to debug that issue is when that starts happening is to get those Java cores against that application server that's not responding properly. But that communication is based on that TCP IP connection between your web server and your app server. If the transport on the app server is making the connection, and there's some synchronization issue or a back-end problem where the app server can't respond, back to the request, and the web server can't detect that and throw an error.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll go next to Anil Kumar with USAA.
Hi, my question is the hung thread detector. Is that part of the standard WebSphere 5.1, or do I need to do any special configurations to make it work in 5.1x?
It should be enabled when you install. You can configure it to change that threshold for when the hung thread gets reported, but you should not have to enable it. It should be there.
The reason why I'm asking that is I haven't seen the message that you have in your slide 3, the thread monitor with it, saying that thread is hung. I haven't seen that in the standard out log in occasions where the JVM was hung.
It could be the threshold is default. I forget what the default is. It could be defaulted to a high enough level where you're not reaching the threshold. I'd probably go in and decrease that threshold and see if you can get those warning messages to come out sooner.
Okay. And another question I have is, I've seen occasions that, a JVM is hung. I'm trying to take a Q-3, and it does not respond. Matter of fact, that JVM won't respond for anything except a Q-9.
Okay. That is, that's not uncommon. And what we do at that point was to use a Q-11 against it. If you do a Q-11, will you get a core file? Do you know that?
Yeah, even at that time, I've got core files a couple of times, but I should say more than 70-80% of the time, it's not responding for Q-dash and the 11 either.
And if you can't get a Java core, then our only recourse then is to get the core file generated, and if you send in a core file and the Java libraries, we can analyze that and pull out the thread stacks. We have a different, what we do is we treat that as like a crash. You do a Q-11, it throws a core, and then we collect a different set of documentation using the core and the libraries.
Okay.
But sometimes JVMs will get hung up to a point where they stop responding to signals.
Yeah, in my case, the problem was it was not responding to any signal except SIG9. I was not getting a Java core, and I was not able to get a system core when I issued the Q-11.
Does it happen regularly, often, or?
It was happening regularly, often, and now that we upgraded to the service release 5 of JDK, I haven't had a chance to get into that situation yet this week.
if it happens every few days or something, what you might do is write a script.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't get Java cores when it's not hung, right?
Yes.
Okay. You might write a script just to take Java cores every 5 minutes or so. And maybe, you know, leading into the point of the hang, we can get a couple that will tell us what's going on.
Okay.
If you just write a little simple little Unix script to do the kill minus three, sleep for 5 minutes, and then do it again, and just loop.
Okay. That might help.
And you collect those Java cores heading in, maybe we can get one, you know, that'll give us some information right before it hangs. Other than that, we'll have to collect, try to get that core file and process it like a crash.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It appears there are no further questions. At this time, I'd like to turn the program back over to Elaine Papanikolaou for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, Robbie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you, and we do appreciate your participation. Remember that a replay will be available on the Webster Support Technical Exchange site early next week, and we do hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. So thank you for joining us. Have a great day, and thank you, Ricky, for presenting today.
Thank you, Elaine.
Bye, everyone.
This does conclude today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at any time.